Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Yesterday, we heard from CNN's Arwa Damon in Iraq about how Iraqi troops, supported by U.S. advisors and airstrikes, have pushed ISIS into a handful of neighborhoods in western Mosul, where ISIS fighters are holding civilians hostage, executing those who try to flee, only some getting out. Civilians making their way past blown-out buildings and burned vehicles. One woman says, "We were in hell." Well, Arwa also told of dramatic rescues, including by an American former Special Forces soldier, Dave Eubanks, who's brought his wife and children to Iraq to try to help, teaming up with other volunteers from Burma, of all places, the Free Burma Rangers, running through ISIS gunfire to rescue a little girl. There's also incredible footage of them pulling another young woman using a rope.
We ran, got across the road, went through rubble like this, and ISIS is on three sides of us. They could hear them talking, crawled through. Found a girl out in the street, ISIS is shooting, threw a line to her. She tied herself. 3 days, no sleep, no water, wounded.
We watch as they pull her to safety. We'll link you to Arwa Damon's reporting and our segment at hereandnow.org. But today, more on the people of Mosul. A warning, there are graphic descriptions of the violence they are suffering. I asked Arwa about the post-war shock the survivors of this battle in Mosul are going to face because the pictures are apocalyptic.
They are apocalyptic. And, you know, this is a population that before this fighting began, let's not forget, lived under ISIS for around 3 years now. And they were subjected to public executions, to beheadings, to ISIS's oppressive and brutal rule. Children weren't really able to go to school because most parents tried to pull their children out of school because ISIS changed the curriculum to teach them about slaughter and killing. Women were forced to wear the black niqab. Men had to grow long beards. Things like smoking and cell phones and satellite dishes, they were all banned. And then they've had to somehow try to survive this fighting. And despite the fact that, you know, there are these so-called humanitarian corridors, these safe corridors that are being established, ISIS doesn't allow people to leave. We were just talking about this massacre in the field. Around 70 people were killed there. They were gunned down, deliberately picked off. There were little children whose images and still photographs that Dave provided to us that we couldn't broadcast because their faces were blown off. I mean, the sheer, it defies logic. It really and truly does. And at this stage, I think, you know, I'm obviously struggling to try to articulate what it is that we've witnessed. People themselves struggle to articulate what it is that they're going through. They have a tendency to sort of spew out a single sentence as they walk past you. And then when you look at their faces, the adults, and especially the children, the little children that are struggling to try to cope with these emotions that they can't even necessarily process just yet, we're only really beginning right now to scratch the surface of the sheer depth of the trauma that this population has gone through.
And what is the sense of eliminating ISIS completely? And what are you seeing of the U.S. troop role in this?
Look, ISIS will eventually be pushed out of Mosul, but it's about the cost. And as ISIS is being squeezed into this even smaller territory, it's not just the issue of trying to physically keep oneself safe from the bombs and the artillery and the suicide car bombs. It's also that as ISIS is being squeezed, so too are the civilians that are being held hostage alongside them. So a lot of those who had just come out that we spoke to were saying that for days the adults weren't eating. They were only surviving on water and flour. And then, of course, there's the issue of, well, what happens afterwards? How does the Iraqi government begin to lay the framework to prevent an entity like ISIS, or what so many people will say worse, from reemerging afterwards? Rebuilding Mosul is going to be key, physically rebuilding it allowing people to feel safe enough to try to salvage what it is of the lives that they once had. But they're also going to have to build a lot of trust between this predominantly Sunni population and a predominantly Shia government and the Iraqi security forces. And that is going to be vital if we want to even begin talking about long-term stability.
Arwa Damon, CNN Special International Correspondent, speaking to us from Erbil. After spending time in Mosul and bringing back incredible footage, but also just a disheartening view of even the future for that city. Arwa, I say that this is supported by the U.S. Are U.S. troops on the ground there?
They are on the ground. They are attached to Iraqi brigade headquarters. So for the most part, when you see them in their advisory and assist roles, they obviously bring with them U.S. Air assets that are proven to be vital as they push forward. They're not on the front line, per se, going house to house, but the air support, the assets that the U.S. brings in, the intelligence capabilities, these are things that are proving to be vital. And the Iraqi commanders will tell you this as well. Without America's support, they would not be able to get this far. Mm. It is absolutely critical, and the cooperation has proven to be absolutely critical.
Mm. And what is the sense of, you know, this all began in 2003. And so what is the sense of what the U.S. role should be or needs to be or could be going forward? Do people expect the U.S. will help rebuild Mosul?
There is obviously, you know, the hope that perhaps they will. There's also the recognition that the responsibility for that does to a certain degree lie with the Iraqi government. There's something very different when it comes to the dynamics between the U.S. and the Iraqis right now as opposed to 2003. 2003 was an invasion and America was here as an occupying force. And there were a series of phenomenally devastating mistakes that were made by the U.S. Administrations, both the Bush administration and the Obama administration, that people are still very heavily critical of America for. And America does bear a burden of responsibility for what is happening in Iraq today. But this time around, the U.S. is here at the request of the Iraqi government. And there is a sense that the Iraqis want America's support. They want America's air assets. They want America's military hardware. And they want America to continue training the Iraqi security forces.
Arwa, by the way, do you have a timetable? Do you have a sense of when Mosul will be completely back in the hands of Iraqis?
That's really tough to tell. It's a battlefield that is dictated not by timetables per se. The Iraqis wanted this to be over and had said it would be over by the beginning of the year. And then it was by the beginning of Ramadan. And now we're about halfway through. When you speak to commanders on the ground, they say it's very much dictated by circumstance. They are moving forward incredibly slowly. The challenge that they face throughout all of this is that just about every single house has a civilian family in it. And as they move into these last neighborhoods, the streets are getting narrower. The civilian population is more densely packed into these various areas. One of the more chilling things, at least for me, when I look over the Mosul skyline, is when you see these explosions taking place, the knowledge that that is potentially targeting near to or targeting a building that has a civilian family cowering in the basement under a staircase, that there's children screaming and crying, parents that can't even protect their children from the violence that's happening. There's a number of people who we spoke to who still had loved ones, relatives, a little girl whose parents were still buried underneath the rubble, but the Iraqi security forces couldn't get to them because it was an area still controlled by ISIS. I think once this is eventually all over, the stories that we're going to begin to hear are going to be even more chilling than anything that has already transpired.
Hard to imagine. Arwa, thank you. Stay safe.
Thank you.